Thought for today. Love breeds love. This is a wonderful and a positive concept. When we're talking about breeding, we're talking about something a little different. We sometimes think of breeding dogs and cats and horses and animals and sometimes people. But to breed love is another story. Breeding love is placing love into its best and most positive way. Now, if you're breeding dogs, let's say, you bring together a male and a female dog of very high quality, and then you have a very high quality breed of dog. Of course, if you have two completely perfect collie dogs, German Shepherds, miniature Schnauzers, and you bring them together, you will have two perfect miniature Schnauzers or two perfect collies or whatever, and they will reproduce in that way. But you see, there is a thought here that we don't often think about. We don't often think about the fact that when we have these collie dogs that we're breeding or these miniature Schnauzers, there are no perfect pure breeds. Breeders breed out certain traits into dogs, and they breed in certain traits into dogs that are desirable. They breed in gentleness. They breed in the ability to be all white or brown or black or spotted, or to be in the black and white sort of a lovely expression for many of the Schnauzers. But you see, there is no perfection. There is no thought of having a pure, perfect white miniature Schnauzer that has perfect markings at all times, and that every one of their future offspring are going to have those perfect markings and those perfect traits of gentleness and perfect traits of learning how to behave, being very intelligent, and other traits. These are things that just cannot be bred into anything. As the human, as the physical, as the relative world goes around, we think that we can breed into beings and breed into animals and breed into the world the sort of thing that we want, but it doesn't work out that way. Because there are many variables that come into play. So now, let's talk about love breeds love. Is there a perfect love? Is there a perfect love in humanity and life that brings forth a perfect love like itself? Can any perfect love breed perfect love? We look at some people and we say, wow, aren't they wonderful? Aren't they marvelous? Aren't they outstanding, stupendous, superior people? And we think to ourselves, would I love to have people like that? They're the ideal-looking couple. The man is just fantastic. The woman is just gorgeous beyond words. And they have good manners and they have good taste. They are gentle and caring. They behave. They have no hang-ups that feel that they must be superior to somebody else, and that they must, that when they walk down the street and everybody says ooh and ah as they walk by, they're not overloaded with all of this pride that says, of course, I'm better than you are. You see, that's a rare thing for anyone to be so complete and so beautiful and so fantastic and yet so untouched by their magnificence and their breeding. What kind of love would we like to breed that would bring about a love that is universal and that is wonderful and that's desirable? What kind of a love would we breed for that? It seems to me that any relative trait that we would try to breed would have within it its inherent limitations. And if we're going to work on the inherent limitations of ourselves, we're going to work on problems. But when we work on the pure idea of who we are as love, we open up all sorts of wonderful doors for us. Doors of understanding, doors of realization, doors of appreciation of just what love really is. Now think about love. Love is the feeling of all is right with the world. Love is the feeling that nothing needs to be changed anywhere to improve it. Love is a recognition that everything that is beautiful in itself, of itself, and for itself, and it has no other purpose to be. And then we take that love a little further into that realm of almost unbelievability, and we call it unconditional love. Love that loves for the sake of loving. Love that does not love because someone is lovable, or because someone is unlovable. Sometimes we love people who are unlovable just to bring them into the fold and love them. And that's the wrong motivation too. Love should be of itself, in itself, for itself, fulfilled and beautiful, having nothing whatsoever to do with anything else. Having nothing whatsoever to do with motivating, enervating, in any way rebuilding character, rebuilding inner confidence. A mother who loves her child, loves her child basically because it's her child, because she certainly doesn't love all children on the face of the earth as she loves her child. But let's just think that a mother could love her child unconditionally. If a mother loved her child unconditionally, she would look at the child and say, "You know how to live a harmonious life. You know how to live a harmonious life." And as she speaks to the child and tells the child, "You know how to live a harmonious life," the child would develop that ability of living a harmonious life. Now, the mother wouldn't necessarily give the child tests or give the child opportunities to prove how it lives a harmonious life. But life would certainly offer those things to the child. Now, how does a child learn how to live a harmonious life if not through the actions that it sees its parent and the people in its world doing? How does it know? It really doesn't know. How does it find out how to live a fulfilled and rewarding life except by example? Now, the mother who believes that this child lives unconditional love must herself live unconditional love, because she cannot encourage, inspire, she cannot bring about the desire in the child to live unconditional love when she herself does not have unconditional love as her clarion call, as her guiding principle of her very life. But she can at least start on it. We can all work from where we are to improve ourselves to be a little better. So, she by her example is an example to her child. But more so, she doesn't have to live by her limitation. She sees her child as unconditional love. She does not tell her child to be like she is. She just is a beautiful being. But she sees her child as unconditional love. Now, she is putting the law of cause and effect into motion. So the law of cause and effect, which knows all about unconditional love, which knows all that is necessary to bring about unconditional love. And that law works with her child, demonstrating unconditional love in everything it does. It demonstrates unconditional love as it brings this about in the child. The mother may not even know what is happening to the child, but she speaks her word and says that her child is guided by unconditional love. Her child lives unconditional love. Her child is unconditional love in all aspects of its being. And the child reflects this. Now, the mother doesn't look for it, because you cannot see unconditional love. Unconditional love just is. And the mother herself becomes refined by the fact that she is speaking these words for her child. And her own life becomes reflective of more and more unconditional love as she is so joyously giving it away to her beautiful offspring. We do not have to get in there and tell the law how to work. We merely have to decide what we want out of life for ourselves, or what we want out of life for our offspring, our children. Love breeds love. We don't want our children to be bred into the concept of behaving. We don't want our children to get along in the world. We don't want our children to have money to accomplish the things that they might need to buy their way into. We don't want our children to have talent. You see, you say, well, I wouldn't mind if my children had those things. That'd be kind of nice. I think that'd be wonderful if my children had all those things. Yes, that's true. We, in our human attitude, think that would be wonderful if our children had all those limiting concepts as part of their character and part of their reality. But it's difficult for you and difficult for me to say, my child is unconditional love. Because we really don't know what unconditional love is. But just say it anyhow. Say, my child is unconditional love. And then in your own time, on your own thought system, say, what does unconditional love mean to me? How would I live unconditional love? Am I really living unconditional love? Is unconditional love part of my being? You see, love breeds love. It's not that you're taking love as a commodity and breeding it with something else to bring about something else. You are breeding the concept of unconditional love, if that's where your thought is, and you are bringing more unconditional love. You see, dogs that are bred have all the hang-ups and all the beauty that has been bred into them, but they don't have the one-pointedness of that one uniqueness, which is them. And we might call it the uniqueness of the concept dog. So we breed dog into dog. You say, that's the carrying coals to Newcastle's. The dog is a dog already. Yes. But is it a perfect dog? Is it an ideal dog? Is it an archetypal dog? Is it an unconditionally loving dog? It is a non-judgmental dog. Is it an unpossessed dog? Does it love everyone equally? Well, hey, I want that dog to love me. Right away you get your bloated nothingness in the way, and of course the dog's going to turn out to be roar to everybody else and lick your toes to you. Is that what you want? Well, I like the dog to belong to me. I want him to belong. I want my son to belong to me. He's my child. I bore him. I raise him. Oh, come on now. What great gift did you, as the divine, put into motion by bringing forth this wonderful being you call your child? Did you bring it forth for you to possess it? Did you bring it forth to be its highest and greatest and most wonderful that it could possibly be? Or did you bring it forth just because you wanted to be selfish and have something to snuggle like a teddy bear? Go buy a teddy bear. But don't buy a human being. A human being surround with your pure white light of love. Surround with your purity and your goodness. Surround with the magnificence that you are. Take that beautiful human being and bring forth in your consciousness what is the reality of its consciousness. I am that I am. I am all. And the reality of its consciousness is not to be a cooperative person on the face of the earth. But that's not bad, you say. It's not to be a successful person on the face of the earth, but that's not bad either, my goodness. No. It is to be a divine expression the most magnificent qualities that you could ever dream for yourself or for any being on the face of the earth. If your child is independently wealthy, will it ever need for anything? Well, the divine is independently wealthy. If your child is all-knowing, will it ever need for knowledge? Well, it should go to school, learn reading, writing, arithmetic. It should go to school and learn how to get along with other children. It should. Why? If your child is the essence of unconditional love, every single person, man, woman, or child, that comes into its environment will instantly be charmed by who and what that child is. Everyone, without exception, will see the unconditionally loving quality of that child, who, as they say of many little children, not many, but some little children, they go to anyone. They go to anyone. Even someone who might want to do them harm. They go to anyone because they don't know what it is to have an enemy. And once they go to anyone, no one can do harm to that child, because they live in that precious consciousness of unconditional love. Love breeds love. Now, what kind of love are you and I talking about here? Are we talking about the physiological love that brings about a coupling and up comes a child? Are we talking about the physiological love on the emotion standard, where a man and a woman love one another, friends love each other, and are willing to die for each other and are willing to live for each other? Are we talking about the love of God, which we think is beyond our ken, beyond our awareness, our understanding, and we say, well, the love of God, the agape love of God, oh my goodness sake, it is that precious spiritual love that is so fabulous. Well, bully, bully. Have you ever sensed that special, precious, spiritual love? Have you ever felt the love of God in you, which transcended the love of you as a human? I doubt it. Once you do know it, you will not know that you know it. But right now we're dealing with things that we know. And if you have a child or a husband or a wife or a mother or father or sisters or brothers or anybody in your world who is expressing unconditional love, unconditional love as handed down to us. I've dug the hole for unconditional love many times to fit it into that pattern. You dug a hole for unconditional love to fit it in the pattern? Yes. Mentally, I had to break ground and make way for these things to fit into my consciousness. And physiologically, I visualized myself digging a hole and planting the seeds of unconditional love, that just unconditional love could be there. But when I dug down and wanted to plant the seeds of unconditional love, it was already there. It was already there, and it started to ooze out and pour out of that hole. And I thought, gee, I should dig a bigger hole, make more room, let more unconditional love come. But that was all I could handle at the moment. And with that unconditional love, I didn't judge anyone. I looked at everyone and I saw them beautiful and fantastic and glorious. Because as I touched unconditional love, that love bred more love. And it grew and grew, and I became like a mist. And that unconditional love flowed out over all like a mist. A glorious, magnificent mist. And I let that mist shine over my son and my daughter, my husband and my wife. I let it shine over my mother and father and sister and brothers, and over my co-workers and over my friends in my world. And then I had so much left over, I let it shine over everybody else on the globe, because they're all my creation too. And that instant that I let my love shine so profoundly over all the world, there was peace on earth because it began with me. All the conflicts, all the misunderstandings, all the unhappiness people to people experience with one another ceased to be. And the only thing that remained, the only thing that remained, was a symbol. Symbol of unconditional love. And everyone who followed after me, walking along this pathway, they found my symbol of unconditional love and they rested there. And they absorbed it. Not the symbol of Herb Byerly, for sure. He's there too, but not the symbol of him, because I'm not the leader of others. But the symbol that the symbol made you think about. You look at a cross and you think of the crucifixion. You look at a fish, you think of Christianity. You look at a mountain and you think beauty, or you think to climb, or you think as a place of illumination. Whatever system that you have drawn to any of these words or terms, that's what they become for you. And each term breeds more terms like itself, until you have a host of terms, each of which belong to you unconditionally. What are you ready for? What are you ready for in life? Well, that's a simple thing, Herb. I want to walk my spiritual path. I want to be illumined. I want to be unconditionally loving and all that good stuff. I want to do that. But if this is what you want, if this is what you really want, then this is how you can start working on it. Like our theme, love breeds love. Love seeds planted bring love seeds. Love seeds planted bring love seeds, and love seeds bring love. So, if you're going to take your garden, first, before you can plant your seeds and have an effective garden, you have to nurture the soil. You have to make the ground loose to receive the seed. You have to get rid of those old habits that say, no, 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 it can't work, it can't work. You got to get in there with your hands and really plow away and work at it. But like I so often enjoy, I get out in the garden and I'll take the hoe or something and break up the soil. And then I'll take my hands and I'll crush the soil so it is in just a fine, lovely, not a powder, but just broken up soil. And then when I plant the seeds, I'll take my finger and stick it down deep in the soil and put the seed there, and then cover it up, and then once again, and once again. Well, Herb, that'd take forever if you have a large garden. That's right. But have you thought of tending a small garden first and then expanding? We have 100 acres on which we could have a good 30, 40 acres of garden if we choose. And we're not going to do that. We may have 10, 12 acres of garden when we're done, maybe more or less. But Ingeborg wanted a garden. And so she went behind the garage where nobody knew about it. And she dug the soil. Nobody was there to put any comments about it. And she built the soil up by using some concrete blocks to make it level and flat. And then she took her seeds and she planted them there. And she took her love and she filled it around those seeds and said, grow, you wonderful seeds, grow. You're my garden. You're my special children. Grow, I love you. And every day she went out to water them 2-3 times a day, put a dripper around it. And her fruit began to grow. The plants grew amazingly large, shades of Fintorn. And the fruit grew amazingly beautiful. But she lacked a few nutrients in the soil. So for some reason the tomatoes tasted a little sharp and a little rancid. But all the rest of the food grew in that soil very well. It grew abundantly rich. And she covered our table with her growth and her food and her product for many, many days. And half the time we didn't know we were eating the fruit of Ingeborg's love. She didn't go in there and say, "Now, I know that other people in the past have tried to grow gardens up here and they didn't work because the little critters came and ate it up." She didn't say that. She didn't even think about it. If she thought about it, she would have had it. She went in her garden and she said, "Singularly, one by one, I plant love seeds." And she came to me a number of times and said, "Can I buy some more seeds?" And I said, "Well, buy whatever you like." And so she got these seeds, and she didn't plant them all. She just planted a row of maybe 10 or 12 seeds, and she kept the rest for another season. And then she planted some other seeds, and the seeds grew in abundance. And not one rodent came by to disturb her seed, because that wasn't in her consciousness. Not one bug came by to destroy her plants, until she had a fatal experience. In pride and joy, she told the rest of the group about her garden, and all came to look at her garden, and each brought with them their own limitation. "Oh, there are bugs around. There are bugs that'll eat your leaves." And the bugs came. "Oh, there are worms around. There are worms that will come along and go from the ground up into your fruit." And she raised her fruit off the ground, and still the bugs climbed above and ate into her fruit. And other things. When you have a secret garden, it is the most beautiful, the most fulfilled, the most perfect garden of all. And when you speak your word that my child is unconditional love, I am unconditional love, there now is peace on earth and it began with me, you don't have to get everyone speaking it with you, because you are the power, the creator of the universe. Speak your word positively, dynamically, wonderfully. Love breeds love, but not in the presence of doubt. Love breeds love, but not in the presence of interpretations of what love means. There is no such thing as a perfect collie dog to breed to another perfect collie dog. There will be a good breed, a good line, good genes, but we shall not have the perfect until we return to our original purity and integrity. Ingeborg will not have a perfect garden again until she quietly takes it in her own heart and re-prepares the soil and re-prepares everything and does it her own way, quietly, perfectly. Then her garden will be magnificent. Then she'll have to figure a way of getting it to the table without letting people know it came from her garden. But perhaps that's the end of the season. Go to the Father who seeth in secret, and the Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. The Father is within each one of us. The Father is ourself. The Father is our God presence. Go to your inner self in secret and pray to this inner self in secret, saying, "I am unconditional love. I am the pure white light of love. I surround my world with my pure white light of love. I am the wholeness. I am the purity. I am the goodness. Love breeds love. do not go away from love. Let it be all and all for you. Let it be your reality. Let it be who you are. And when you let it be who you are, then it is all for you, and you are complete, and you are whole, and you are wonderful. This day, proclaim, love breeds love. Love breeds love. Love breeds love. I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. And my beloved ones, I love you with my unconditional love, now and always. And so it is.